Hey guys, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back yet again for another Drunk and Dangerous. And today we're doing another grim fairy tale reading because honestly, after the masterpiece that was Gammyleg, I just don't know if I can ever stop reading these now. I mean, anything's possible. It's like after the 2016 election, anything is possible. It's a crazy world we live in now. And now look at 2020, we're all in quarantine. Who knows what the fuck is gonna happen? These are interesting times, my friends. Very interesting times. So we're going to go to a simpler time of cannibalistic suns and moons and go back to the lovely Grimm's fairy tales. Because honestly, like, it's kind of nice to think that in these worlds, like, yes, evil comes in a very convenient form, an evil wolf that eats people. Whereas, like, in real life, it's more nuanced, you know? Your grandma could actually be evil and eat people and not even be a wolf. She could just be a bitch, you know? Life is unfortunately nuanced. We prefer our villains to look like villains, right? Hell yeah. Like, our villains nowadays are stupid neighbors who don't socially distance themselves because they think that COVID-19 is propaganda. Those people are known as idiots. They're known as idiots. Sorry. I want to be not PC here, but I won't. They're just morons. Big, fat, fucking morons. And, you know, I don't wish ill on anyone, but if anyone were to get a virus, it should be the people that are doing nothing to prevent it. I think we can all agree. Assholes. Anyway, so let me put aside that rant for another day. Because holy fuck. Whew, I got that off my chest. I think I'm feeling a little better and ready to rip into some fairy tales instead of the people surrounding me. So this next story after death and the goose boy is the singing bone. Maybe that's why I'm singing it. I've got this singing bone. I'll make your bones sing, baby. Don't you know I play the skin flute? The singing bone. A wild boar was causing great damage throughout the entire country. Nobody dared to go into the forest where the beast was running around. Whoever had been so bold as to enter the forest and to try to kill the boar had been ripped apart by its tusks. So the king proclaimed that whoever killed the wild boar would receive his only daughter for a wife. Like, I'm just imagining somebody saying, like, this is why you can't take our guns. The wild boars are coming for our daughters. How else will you defend her virginity against those cold, cruel tusks? Don't you remember a simpler time when there wasn't a crazy boar running around the forest, ruling things and ripping men apart? Like, yeah, that's 2021, right? That's what's coming after the forests, just ruled by crazy boars. Why not? Why the hell not? Maybe. Give them your women. That's apparently what we have to do. Now, three brothers were living in the realm. The eldest was wily and smart. The second, somewhat intelligent. I feel like I'm the second brother. That's how, like, I feel like if I ever went missing. And the police were like, could you describe your daughter? My parents would be like, somewhat intelligent. They'd be like, do you think she might have met up with someone she met online? Like, would she have made sure that she got to know this person first? They'd be like, no. She's not our first child. She's definitely that second one. Somewhat intelligent. It hurts. Just cuts to the core. It hurts because it's true. The third and youngest, naive and dumb. Or maybe I'm that one. But I'm too naive and dumb to recognize it. They thought of winning the princess and wanted to look for the wild boar and kill it. The two older brothers went out together. So they all do it together. They just, like, gangbang her. Like, They're working together to do it. So are they looking for a threesome? What's the deal here if you both equally kill this boar? I mean, maybe that's what they're into when they're, like, they're devising a plan to all kill that boar at the same time. So they're like, we have to do it this way. It's only fair. Like, you know, appeal to her sense of moral judgment because they're just kinky bastards. Makes total sense. Maybe there isn't even a boar. Maybe they just, like, hired somebody to pretend to be a boar. Like that M. Night Shyamalan movie that nobody liked. You know, The Village. It's just like that. The boar is just a fucking village elder. Whatever the fuck. I didn't even see that movie. But I heard about it enough times to know what it is, and it sounds stupid as fuck. My apologies if you like The Village, you know. If you liked it, good for you. Apparently, most people I know think you have terrible taste. But if you're listening to this ASMR, clearly your taste is turned around. For the better. Okay. The singing bone. I need to get back to this fucking story. Okay, yeah. So they wanted to kill that boar. That's probably, I don't even exist. Well, the youngest proceeded alone. As this young man entered the forest, a little man appeared before him. He was holding a heavy lance in his hand and said,
"Take this lance and attack the wild boar without fear. You'll easily be able to kill it."
I mean, that sounds like it's bullshit, because, like, it's way too easy, right? Like, if you knew you could easily kill the boar with that thing, why the fuck didn't you do it, asshole?
He's like, "I don't want to have any culpability in this. What if it goes south?"
And this is what happened. Thanks, cool, I can't wait to hear. He struck the boar with the black lance so that it fell to the ground. Then he cheerfully lifted the beast on his shoulders and carried it toward home. Along the way, he passed by a house in which his older brothers were enjoying themselves by drinking wine. When they saw him carrying the boar on his back, they called out to him, "Come inside and have a drink with us. You must be tired." The innocent bumpkin, as he's described, I feel like that's insulting. But okay.
Yuck, yuck.
The innocent bumpkin didn't suspect anything evil. So he went inside and told them how he had killed the boar with the lance and was delighted about his good fortune. In the evening, they headed toward their home together, and the two older brothers made a plan to take their brother's life. That's cold as fuck. For a little pussy, dude, seriously? Calm the hell down. And power, fucking asshole, Jesus. And like, you really think the other one's not gonna turn on the one? Like, I'm the somewhat smart one and I already see it coming. The other brother's smarter than me. I'm not gonna fucking make a plan with that fucking asshole. Like, he's Jafar. I'm not even Aladdin because I'm not as good as Aladdin. I'm like a Pooh the monkey, but without Aladdin or the fucking rug. Just an angry little monkey with a fez and a vest, and I'm like naked for the rest of my whole body for some strange reason. And I steal apples. Hide them in my vest. Like, it's that crazy naked woman stealing apples again. I say it's not my fault, it's quarantine. We're all going a little crazy, right? I totally lost. Okay, they're gonna kill their brother for that bitch. And they let him go ahead of them, and as they approach the city, and we're... I'm so dumb, I can't stop laughing at myself. And we're on a bridge. They attacked him and beat him to death. Holy fuck. Whoo, they beat him to death. They just beat that stupid fucker to death. Please tell me that he wasn't quarantining because he didn't believe in coronavirus. Please at least make me feel no pity for him because I feel bad. He's just dumb. Oh, he's dumb. They buried him deep under the bridge. Afterward, the eldest took the boar, carried it to the king, and received the princess for his wife. It took many years before this deed was revealed, and it happened when a shepherd was crossing the bridge and noticed a little bone lying down below in the sand. Since it was so clean and snow white, he wanted to make a mouthpiece for his horn out of it. That's creepy. That's creepy, man. Holy shit. You find some random bone, you're just... Cool, I'm gonna put my mouth on this. Are you gonna even clean it? Holy fuck. Okay, ew. So I went down and picked it up. Later he made it into a mouthpiece. Fucking nasty. And as he set it into the horn and wanted to blow, the little bone began to sing on its own accord. Dear Shepherd, blowing... I can't sing it so much. Okay, hold on. I can do this. It's so bad, you guys. It's so bad. I've got to get into character. I'm not a perverted adult. I'm a singing bone. Nothing I say is a sexual euphemism. I'm not talking in euphemisms. I am speaking purely the truth, literal truth. Dear Shepherd, blowing on my bone. Hear my song, for I want you to know. My brothers killed me years ago. They buried me by the brook that flows. Amazing, still like blowing on it at this point, like he hasn't stopped. And carried off the dead wild boar. And when the king's lone daughter, I'm not singing anymore, I can't. Dear Shepherd blowing on his bone. He sings a song about his own death, which is kind of impressive, but also like, that's really unlikely. If that your whole plan to haunt somebody to reveal the fact that you were killed is that they blow on your bone after you're dead, mind you, I feel like there are a high chance that would never have been revealed by blow. I mean, I guess the moral of the story is blow on the bone whenever you have the chance. Good things happen when you blow on a bone. Anyone? The shepherd immediately took the horn and brought it to the king, and once again it sang the same words. When the king heard the song, he had the ground beneath the bridge dug up, and the skeleton of the dead brother was revealed. The two evil brothers confessed their crime and were thrown into the water. However, the bone of the murdered brother was laid to rest in a beautiful grave in the churchyard. That doesn't sound, like it was that great for the ghost. He's still dead. And what did the middle brother even fucking get out of it? Am I wrong? Like, he killed his brother for fucking jack squat. What the hell did he get? Thrown into the water? But he didn't even get to be, like, a fucking heir to a throne or some shit. He just got to be the guy who killed his stupid brother for no reason. Was he just like, thank God the idiot's out of the way. Now I'm the least impressive member of the family. Woohoo. Yeah, nobody wants that. I've been there. It's not fun. Been there. I live there. Okay. This next beautiful tale is called The Devil with the Three Golden Hairs. Hair is like on his head, and I'm picturing just three long, thick, lustrous hairs. Each one of them as thick as a braid. It's a singular strand of the devil's gigantically thick hair. Three strands cover his whole head. That's pretty impressive. A devil with three golden strands. It's not going to be anything like that. But now that image is in your head, too. A woodcutter was chopping wood in front of the king's house, while the princess was standing in a window above and observing him. When noon arrived, he sat down in the shadows and wanted to rest. Now the princess was able to see that he was very handsome and fell in love with him. That's not called love, honey. So she had him summoned to her, and as soon as he caught sight of her and saw how beautiful she was, he fell in love with her. Soon they were united in their love for one another, But the king learned that his princess was in love with the woodcutter, and as soon as he knew this, he went to her and said,
"You know that you may only wed the man who brings me the 3 golden hairs from the devil's head, whether he be a prince or a woodcutter."
Okay, so one of my questions, it would be like, okay, if it really is 3 giant strands of hair, there's no way you can take those without being noticed, possibly killing him. I feel like you'd scalp him if that's how it worked. So, does the devil have a bunch of golden hairs? Or are they just like, are they 3 blonde hairs? Or are they actually made of gold? You know? Like, are we talking color or actual, like, material? The king thought there had never been a prince courageous enough to accomplish this task, and therefore an inferior man like the woodcutter would certainly not succeed. That's classist. The princess was distressed because many princes who had tried to fetch the devil's 3 golden hairs had died. Since there was nothing else she could do, she told the woodcutter what her father had said. However, the woodcutter was not at all depressed by this and said,
"I'll certainly succeed. Stay true to me until I return. Early tomorrow, I shall set out."
Until he returns? So, like, what's she gonna do? Lose her virginity to some other woodcutter until you return? How long are you gonna be gone? Like, 7 years? Like, sorry, man. If you're gone for, like, 5 years, I'm fucking marrying someone else. I'm a princess. I'm not waiting forever for your woodcutter ass. You're not even a prince. Shit. Know your worth. Good God. Let's see. Indeed, the woodcutter began his journey to the devil the next day and soon came to a big city. In front of the gate, a guard asked him what kind of craft he practiced and what he knew.
"I know everything," answered the woodcutter.
He's one of those. Don't marry him, girl. I mean, seriously, listen to me. I know everything. Don't marry this guy.
"If you know everything," the gatekeeper said, "then make our princess healthy again. No doctor in the world has been able to cure her. When I return."
In the second city, he was also asked what he knew.
"I know everything."
"Then tell us why our beautiful well at the marketplace has become dry." "I mean, I can answer that. It's out of water." "Boom. Answered, bitch." "Oh, when I return," said the woodcutter, and he refused to be detained. Oh, that's how it works? Because I've seen a lot of people refuse to be detained on YouTube, and let me tell you, that doesn't mean shit. It's kind of like pushing the arrest me button, like, harder, harder, daddy. You might as well be saying that to the cops when you're saying, "Am I being detained?" Oh my God. I wasn't driving, I was traveling. When I return," said the woodcutter, and he refused to be detained, and apparently it worked for him, because he was a woodcutter. After a while, he came to a fig tree that was rotting, and nearby stood a man who asked him what he knew.
"I know everything." "Then tell me why the fig tree is rotting and no longer bearing any fruit."
"When I return." The woodcutter traveled on and encountered a ferryman who had to transport him across the river, and he asked him what he knew.
"I know everything."
"So tell me, when will I finally be relieved, and when someone else will transport people across the river?"
"When I return."
What a fucking ass. You can't remember all these fucking questions you were asked. After the woodcutter was on the other side, he entered hell.
Cool.
So basically, oh my God. Oh my God. So, like, I totally get it now. Because are you ever on the phone? And, like, you keep getting transferred from department to department, and, like, every other person you have to talk to asks you the same question over and over, and, like, you have to keep answering it, and you're transferred to a new person. That feels like descending into hell. I totally understand it. So that's what it's gonna feel like when I die. Ooh, dark humor. Burned myself literally in hell on the way having to answer questions for people, especially children. Ugh. Okay, let's see. After the woodcutter was on the other side, he entered hell. Everything appeared black and sooty. I mean, that's, wow, that's some great description. I'm a writer, too. The dark was extremely dark and hard to see in. It was like nighttime, because it was 8 p.m. The sun was low in the sky, which is to say it was below the horizon. And the moon, in not really quite a full circle shape, was up in the sky, looking buttery yellowish. See, I can do this too. We can all be writers. Under the black, sooty sky. Fantastic. It's just like being in hell. However, the devil was not home. Where was he? Oh my god, not socially distancing. The devil does it. Same with all those fucking other people have in common. Them and the devil, neither one socially distanced. Good job. Good job. There's some truth in fairy tales after all. Okay. Whew, devil's not home. Of course he's not. Only his wife was sitting there. The woodcutter said to her, "Good day, Mrs. Devil. Oh, that's offensive. I bet she has a name. I wonder what her name is. She's married to the fucking devil. She's a bitch. Holy shit, Mrs. Devil? Maybe it's not even Mrs. Devil. It could be a trap. You know? You know what that devil gets up to? He's into some kinky shit. It's hell, Mrs. Devil.
Good day, Mrs. Devil. I've come here to take three golden hairs that your husband has on his head. That's fucking forward as shit.
Oh my god. That's really forward. Not how I would have played it, but... Don't ask me. I'm the middle brother. I'm just gonna take the hairs your husband has on his head. And I'd like to know why a princess cannot be cured, why a deep well in the marketplace doesn't have any water, why a fig tree doesn't bear any fruit... And why a ferryman has not been relieved from his work. I don't know why she's gonna do him a favor, but... The wife was horrified and said, "When the devil comes and finds you here, he'll eat you right away, and you'll never be able to get the three golden hairs. But since you're so young, I feel sorry for you, and I'll see if I can save you." Well, that was fast. Cool. I guess Mrs. Devil's a pretty chill girl. I don't know why she married the devil, but whatever. I want to know her story. Like, what's her name? The woodcutter had to lay down beneath the bed, and no sooner did he do this than the devil came home. It feels like he's cucking the devil. Like, for real, is he going to watch the devil and Mrs. Devil start fucking? It'd be so awkward, and at first the devil finds him under there and he's pissed. But then he's like, "Wait a minute." And the wife's like, "No, let him watch." And then he has to watch the devil and Mrs. Devil have, like, the hottest sex they've had in a millennium. And now he's chained under their bed for whenever they want to drag him out. It's kind of fucking hot. Dirty devil, weird human, what's-his-face games. Oh, right, woodcutter. He knows everything. What a fucking asshole. Okay, kinky woodcutter.
"Good evening, wife."
I guess it's the devil. The devil's like a fucking office dude. He's just like, "Good evening, wife." That's how they write the devil, I guess. Sounds real fucking wholesome. Why does he sound like fucking Leave It to Beaver?
"Good evening, wife. It is I, your husband, the devil."
My apologies. My demon people have been far too crass. They should have been,
"Good evening, wife,"
he said, and proceeded to take off his clothes. Okay, so he gets fully naked. Me and the devil have this in common. Then he burst out, saying,
"What's going on in this room? I smell the flesh of a man."
We humans must stink. Everything can smell us. Every supernatural creature's like stinks like a human. What do I smell like? Please tell me. No, not really. If you know what I smell like, you're standing too close to me. Do not guess in the comments below, I swear to God. Okay, it's ammonia. The answer is ammonia and fish. You're welcome. It keeps people away. People that don't want to socially distance. Rub sardines at the walk and just splash ammonia around. Who needs a gun, bitch? No one needs a fucking gun. You just paste newspaper on some key windows in your house. Make it stink on the outside. You think someone's going to break into that place? No. And if they do, acid trap. I mean, it works for the Jigsaw Killer, right? You just say, like, I didn't kill them, they killed themselves by walking into my acid trap. Isn't that how it works? I mean, please tell me, because I've already done it, so. Okay, let's continue. The devil smells a stinky human. The house smells like a stinky, stinky human man.
I've got to look around.
What are you going to smell? His wife asked. You've got the sniffles, and the smell of human flesh is still stuffed up in your nose. Oh, the life of the devil and Mrs. Devil. Don't mess up everything. I've just cleaned the house. They're like a 1950s couple. What is this oddly wholesome relationship between Devil and Mrs. Devil? I mean, yes, I get that she's lying to save the human's life, but it's like weirdly wholesome. Like, you have a feeling like if he found out, he'd be like, oh, you. You're like, I can't stay mad at you, Mrs. Devil. She's like, please let me go home to my family. He's like, haha, that wasn't the arrangement. Okay,
I won't make any noise. I'm tired this evening, and you won't even begrudge me some little thing to eat.
Okay, don't be a dick. Upon saying that, the devil laid himself down in the bed, and his wife had to lie down beside him. Soon he fell asleep. First he blew, then he snored. First he blew. What did he blow? That's up for you to decide. Maybe he blew a horn with a singing bone. At the beginning, he did this softly, and then he was so loud that the windows trembled. When his wife saw that he was sound asleep, she grabbed hold of one of the three golden hairs, ripped it out, and threw it to the woodcutter beneath the bed. Did they say that you had to rip it out by the root? Couldn't you just cut it? That seems unnecessarily aggressive. Everything's rip off, cut off. It's like the gammy leg, you know? That's the hair. Just rip it out of his fucking head and one at a time. Like, he's gonna wake up. The devil jumped up, of fucking course.
What are you doing, wife? Why are you tearing out my hair?
I mean, legitimate question. Oh, I had a nightmare. I must have done it because I was afraid. I'm sorry. If I wake up because my partner is literally ripping hair out of my head, I don't give a fuck if you had a nightmare. Get that. You're sleeping in another bed. No. Ripping my hair out is not an appropriate response to whatever your fucking nightmare is. Do not rip my hair out. Please and thank you. Maybe the devil's used to worse, though. I mean, that makes sense.
What did you dream about?
Oh, that's a pretty reasonable response. Not even upset. I dreamed about a princess who was deathly sick, and no doctor in the world could cure her.
Well, why don't they get rid of the white toad that's sitting under her bed?
What, seriously? Like, that's everybody's problem? What is he, like, the daily horoscope in the newspaper?
Oh, gee.
Oh, how did you know that I needed to go look for a new path because I've been feeling bored lately? Wow, that's so insightful. It couldn't apply to almost everybody in some kind of context. Amazing. The white toad. That's how... I mean, it's just stupid. So the devil has all the answers to everything, and the answer is there's a white toad under your bed? Well, then if anybody out there is very sick, look under your bed for a white toad and get rid of it because the devil said so. Do not tell your doctor that that's what you're doing, or they will think that you are hallucinating. They will think you are hallucinating. Don't tell them the devil told you there's a white toad under your bed that's making you sick. Yet another thing that the Grimm's fairy tales say that I'm telling you, if you told a person, they would be like, okay, are you feeling all right? Do you really believe this? So if you're planning to fake being insane, this is some material possibly, but, you know, don't fake being insane because being sane is cool, man. That's, that worked. Let's see, the devil's just like, oh, cool, you just gotta get rid of that toad. After saying that, the devil turned to his other side and fell asleep again. What a helpful guy. When his wife heard him snoring, she grabbed hold of a second hair, ripped it out, and threw it under the bed.
The devil jumped up. Hey, what are you doing? Have you gone mad? You've been terrible ripping my hair. I mean, legit. He was kind of bitchy about food, but, like, you're ripping his hair out. It's kind of mean.
Oh, listen, my dear husband. I was standing before a large well at the marketplace, and the people were yammering because there was no longer any water in it.
There's a marketplace in hell? And, like, people can complain about the status of things in hell? Hell is far nicer than I was led to believe. It's hell in Sweden somewhere? Because, like, y'all's prisons are, like, fucking nice as shit. In our prisons, you're gonna get shanked by, like, a toothbrush on your second day for a tampon because apparently they're super hard to find and expensive in prison. So, no fucking thank you.
They asked me if I knew if there was any way to help them. Well, I looked down the well, but it was so deep that I became dizzy. I wanted to stop myself, and then I got entangled in your hair.
You should have told them that they had to pull out the white stone lying at the bottom of the well, and now leave me in peace with all your dreams.
He lay down once more and soon began snoring atrociously as before. I feel for the devil.
He goes to work doing something all day. He doesn't feel like he'd torture people, and he just goes to bed to a wife who rips his hair out when he's sleeping.
Because she can't just have an honest discussion with him. He lay down once more and soon began snoring atrociously as before. His wife thought, I've got to dare once more. And sure enough, she ripped the third golden hair out and threw it down to the woodcutter. That bitch. The devil leapt into the air and wanted to teach her a nasty lesson, but his wife calmed him down, kissed him and said,
What horrible dreams. A man showed me a fig tree that was wilting. He complained that it was no longer bearing any fruit. Then I wanted to shake the tree to see if something would fall off. And the next I knew I was shaking your hair.
Okay, that's not a horrible dream. Maybe her scale of nightmares, that's the worst she's ever had. But that's kind of an impressively tame dream. Says literally anyone who's dreamed. I mean, literally as a child, I had scarier nightmares than that. And I never ripped anyone's hair out, to my knowledge.
That would have been in vain. There is a mouse gnawing at the roots of the tree. If it's not killed, then the tree will be lost. Once the mouse is dead, the tree will be fresh, regain its health, and bear fresh fruit. So now stop plaguing me with all your dreams. I want to sleep, and if you wake me up one more time, I'll give you a good slap in your face.
Ooh, he fucking told her. But also, these seem like very specific circumstances.
His wife was very much afraid of the devil's anger, but the poor woodcutter had to know one more thing that only the devil knew. So the wife pulled his nose and lifted him up into the air. She is abusive. The devil jumped up as though he were out of his mind and gave her a smack in the face that resounded all over the place.
I mean, kind of had it coming.
His wife began to weep and said, Do you want me to fall into the water and drown? The ferryman brought me across the river, and as the barge approached the other side, it bumped into the bank, and I was afraid I might fall and wanted to grab hold of the anchor which was attached to a chain. That's why I grabbed hold of your nose.
How come you didn't pay attention? The barge does this all the time.
The ferryman complained to me that nobody has come to relieve him, and there's no end to his work.
All he has to do is get the first man who comes to take over the ferrying from him until a third man comes who relieves him. This is the way that he can help himself. But your dreams are really strange.
Legitimate point.
Everything you've told me about the ferryman is true, and everything else as well. Now don't wake me again. See, it will be morning, and I want to sleep a little more. Otherwise, I'll make you pay if you disturb me.
After the woodcutter heard everything and the devil was snoring again, he thanked the devil's wife and departed. When he arrived at the barge, the ferryman wanted some information.
First, take me across.
When the woodcutter was on the other side, he said to the ferryman,
The next person who comes and wants to be taken across the river.
I like that he didn't tell him this ahead of time, because then he would have had to take this guy's place.
The next person, the next one, next person who comes and wants to be taken across the river.
Keep him there until he takes over your job and continues your work until another man comes to relieve him. Soon thereafter, the woodcutter came to the man with the wilted fig tree and said to him,
All you have to do is kill the white mouse that's gnawing on the roots. Then your tree will bear fruit again, just as it did in the past.
What do you demand for a reward?
Asked the man. I want a troop of soldiers. And no sooner did he say this than a troop began marching behind him. Was it magic? Seems like the guy was magic because he magicked them behind the guy, so why didn't he just use his magicy magic to kill a mouse? Feel like you could have solved that problem without a troop of soldiers to reward someone with. But what do I know? What do I know? I've never tried any of this. Maybe it works great. Maybe it's the best way. The woodcutter thought that things were going well and arrived in the city where the well at the marketplace had run dry. Fetch the white stone that's lying at the bottom of the well. So someone climbed down and fetched the stone, and no sooner was he above than the well was once again filled with the clearest water. How should we reward you? The mayor said. Give me a regiment of cavalry officers. Is he starting his own army? And as the woodcutter went through the city gate, a regiment of cavalry officers rode behind him. This was how he entered the other city where the princess, whom no doctor could cure, was lying on her sickbed. All you have to do is kill the white toad that's hiding behind or beneath the princess's bed. I don't know about you, but this random-ass dude is like, hey, kill that weird poisonous toad that was under her bed. He knows about it. He's probably the one that did it. I mean, don't feed me some bullshit line about how Mrs. Devil tricked the devil into telling you about the white toad. No one's believing that. He's behind it the whole time. What a creep. And when that was done, the princess began to recuperate and become healthy and rosy. What do you want for a reward? Asked the king. 4 wagons loaded with gold, said the woodcutter. Wow, don't ask for a little too much. Finally, the woodcutter reached home, and behind him were a troop of infantrymen, a regiment of cavalry officers, and 4 wagons loaded entirely with gold. Man, wouldn't that be weird as fuck if you're, like, in the military, and they're like, sorry, I lost a bet to Bob, so you're Bob's, like, cavalry now? And you're like, what the fuck? This isn't what I was heard. Like, sorry, he just owns you now. Like, this is just a random-ass woodcutter, and, like, he owns you? Like, you're an infantry for what? He doesn't do anything. He cuts wood. We, like, stand around all day and help him cut the wood? Like, you're an infantryman. It's such a strange thing. Where was I? Okay. The 3 golden hairs of the devil, however, were carried by himself. He ordered his regiments to wait in front of the royal gate. They were to enter quickly if he gave them a signal from the castle. Then he went to the father of his beloved princess and handed him the devil's 3 golden hairs and asked him to give him the princess for his bride in keeping with the promise he had made. The king was astonished and said that the woodcutter had done quite right with regard to the devil's 3 golden hairs. Why does he want these fucking things so bad? Nevertheless, the king stated he would have to think about whether he would give him the princess for his bride. As soon as the woodcutter heard this, he moved to the window and whistled to his companions. All of a sudden, the troops of infantrymen and regiments of cavalry officers and 4 heavily loaded wagons marched and rolled through the gate.
My king, said the woodcutter, take a look at my people whom I have brought along with me, and over there is all my wealth in those wagons full of gold. Don't you want to give me the princess?
The king was terrified and said, yes, with all my heart. So basically, threaten the king to get the princess. Cool. And then the woodcutter and the princess were married and lived in bliss. I mean, bliss, right? She's not allowed to say otherwise. This is why whoever is not afraid of the devil can tear out his hair and win the entire world. I don't know if that's necessarily true about being able to, like, tear out the devil's hair. Feels like it's not true. But I don't know. Okay, we are going to read one more story and then we are going to be done for this recording this Wednesday, this drunk and dangerous, fabulously fantastic fairy tale Wednesday. A little louse and little flea. That already sounds gross. Please don't try to make these cute. It's a louse and a flea. I don't like insects very much. They're just gross. Let's be honest. They're just nasty. Don't come at me. I don't like them. A little louse and a little flea were living together in a house and were brewing beer in an eggshell. Sound like hipsters. When the louse fell in and was scalded, then the flea began to scream as loud as he could, and the little door to the room asked... The door to the room. The house where the flea and the louse live. I feel like... this crack cocaine kind of induced, like, hallucination. Like, you're in the crack house and you're seeing this flea and this louse and, like... You're just having this weird-ass, like, dream that they're in a house and all of a sudden the fucking, like, house is talking to them. Like, that's some trippy shit. The little door to the room asked, "Why are you screaming, little flea?" "Because little louse has been scalded." Then the little door began to creak and a little broom in the corner asked, "Why are you creaking, door?" "Why wouldn't I creak? Little louse just got scalded. Little flea is weeping." Then the little broom began to sweep in a frenzy. And when a little car... This is absolutely a drug-induced hallucination. Tell me it's not. And when a little cart came driving by, it asked, "Why are you sweeping, broom?" "Why shouldn't I sweep? Little louse just got scalded. Little flea is weeping. Little door is creaking." "Well, then, I'm going to race around," said the little cart. "Yeah, fuck this shit. Just overturn everything." And it began racing around furiously. And the little dung heap, literally a pile of shit, is talking now. It's a talking pile of shit. Which it passed, asked, "Why are you racing around, little cart?" "Why shouldn't I race around? Little house just got scalded. Little flea is weeping. Little door is creaking. Little broom is sweeping." "Then I'm going to burn with fury," said the little dung heap. And it began to burn in bright flames. Don't make shit angry. You wouldn't like it when it's angry. It sets itself on fire. Then a little tree nearby asked, "Why are you burning, little dung heap?" "Why shouldn't I burn? Little louse has just got scalded. Little flea is weeping. Little door is creaking. Little broom is sweeping. Little cart is racing." "Well, then I'm gonna shake myself," said the tree. It's like me when I'm angry. And it shook itself so hard that all its leaves began to fall. Then a maiden with a water jug came by. Yeah, big jugs, yeah. And asked, "Little tree, why are you shaking?" "Why shouldn't I shake? Little louse just got scalded. Little flea is weeping. Little door is creaking. Little broom is sweeping. Little cart is racing. Little dung heap is burning." Okay, new shirt idea. 2020, little dung heap is burning. And then you just show the earth on fire. Caption, little dung heap is burning. Oh, fucking slogan of 2020. Little dung heap is burning. "Oh, well, then I'm going to break my little water jug," said the maiden. She was breaking it. The little spring from which the water came asked, "Maiden, why are you breaking the little water jug?" "Why shouldn't I break it? Little louse has just got scalded. Little flea is weeping. Little door is creaking. Little broom is sweeping. Little cart is racing. Little dung heap is burning. Little tree is shaking." "Goodness gracious," said the little spring. "Then I'm going to flow." And it began to flow so violently that they were all drowned in the river. The maiden, the little flea, the little dung heap, the little cart, door, flea, louse, every last one of them. The end. You thought shitting in the swimming pool was bad? This is a flood. And there's the little dung heap floating by. R.I.P. little dung heap. I mean, to be fair, he already set himself on fire. I feel like, if anything, the flood did little dung heap a favor. Well, we had Gammy Leg. Now we have little dung heap. I honestly love
2020 little donkey was on fire as my slogan for the year. Really rings real true right now. And hopefully less so for you after listening to this audio. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I had a really good time. I hope you did too. And I will hopefully see you here next week. All right. Love you guys. Stay safe. Mwah. Bye.